And thank you for your good work and communication. Are there any public comments? We are opening up the meeting of Monday, May 9th, 2022. And hearing no public comments, apart from the welcome, are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none.
I have something to hand out about the rescues, that's all. Otherwise, no.
Oh, that would be part of... is it okay under open discussion or
sure, what,
whenever you care
sure.
to? You know, it's fine.
Sure.
Would someone acknowledge that the audio minutes of April's meeting are available?
So acknowledged.
Hmm?
So acknowledged.
Okay. New and continuing business, LCAS updates.
Sure. So we didn't have too much to report for this meeting other than our new animal welfare officer has been hired on and is currently going through training, doing a great job thus far. And her name is Stacy Manning.
Stacy Mannix?
Manning.
Manning?
Correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, excited to see the good work that she's going to do for our organization and for our county as a whole. So that's our largest update for today.
Does she have prior experience?
I believe so. I wasn't too involved with the hiring process, so I can't say too much on that.
Is she from the area?
Again, I don't know too much okay. on that either.
Well, that's great. And she's being trained now? Or
correct, yes.
Going around with Bernie or something?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. And anything else to say in terms of any emergencies or correspondence you've had at all with a city animal control? Or
sure.
I would ask about the dogs that were attacking the sheep.
Oh, on that situation, that's a, yes. I don't have any updates on that. I know our staff were diligently working alongside the sheriff's office as well to see that situation get resolved. For the most part, I want to say that it was resolved, but I unfortunately cannot say for sure. But
when was this?
It was over a month ago. There was something on TV. There was a lady that was saying her neighbor dogs were getting out and killing her sheep.
Killing
and,
her sheep?
And she wasn't necessarily able to prove it was the neighbor's dogs. But that's who she thought they were. And that's all we knew. There were a couple things on TV about it. And, of course, we heard about it last month.
Did she have a guard dog?
I have no idea.
According to her, she had no dogs at all.
Okay.
Nothing.
But she had no dog to protect the herd.
She had nothing, no.
Maybe she should be fined.
Why should she be fined for not having a guard dog?
Protect your sheep.
You don't have the law doesn't say you have to protect your sheep with a guard dog.
What's a German Shepherd for? What's a Shetland Sheepdog for?
A Sheldie drives the stock out of the garden.
Well, you don't believe there are any dogs that have ever been bred to protect sheep?
Yes. That's not the question.
I don't believe you're correct. But that's okay. Different
sure.
perspectives. But I think a good dog can ward away some other ones.
But well, that's the whole point.
She's
not educated about it. If she was educated about it, perhaps she would learn what breeds
yeah.
she should consider
yeah.
to guard her sheep.
Yeah.
Right. And then she wouldn't have the problem, perceived or otherwise.
Exactly.
Well, that would be something that would come through animal control when they visit her. Here's something you can do,
yeah.
at least in the meantime, until we can take care of the dogs that are coming in from outside. Buy yourself a guard dog.
Yeah.
I have one.
If she has
too much of a guard dog.
Now she's going to pay through the nose for lunch. Since the cost of fossil fuels has gone through.
But the sheep shouldn't be sitting ducks.
Right.
You know?
And just putting sheep out in a field and having them fenced in is not...
Cougars can... I mean, where is this... Where was this property?
I don't know. Was it south? I'm not sure where.
I think it was down towards...
Cottage Grove or something.
Yeah, well, Cottage Grove, yeah, something, you know.
So. Is this someone with a sheep herd or has
no,
a
just
sheep?
A few. I don't think it was a big number. It didn't seem like it was a big herd.
And what time of day?
That I don't know.
It wasn't discussed.
I didn't bring the article with me. I have an article.
I mean, if it was night, a cougar or foxes, but...
Coyotes.
That's really sad. I hate
yeah,
to hear
coyotes
this.
Coyotes can get them too, and a coyote can look like a dog a lot of times.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Good point.
There's more of those around than...
Well, maybe yeah. You, by the next meeting, you could look into that.
Sure.
Tell us where it was, when it was, what the disposition is.
I can do that.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And actually, in Oregon, I do know it's legal to shoot a dog, to kill a dog that's coming in to
sure.
Your livestock. Yeah. But I don't think that was ever addressed. No, I'm not sure.
It's always sad, but on the other hand,
right.
Yeah. It's pretty ugly if
I agree.
If
yeah.
You have a
right.
A sheep or who's but been.
From what I remember, she didn't see it happening.
Right.
That right?
That's correct.
And so that's why she couldn't identify the dogs. So it might be. Might
but
have
OD, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, might have been able to identify the
what
dog,
was.
The animal predator by
that's
the
correct.
Bite or by
yeah.
The.
That's correct.
Well, and a lot of times they'll come in and they'll set up cameras
mm-hmm.
If you get a hold of them. Because my brother-in-law and sister-in-law have acreage in Florence, and they had cougars coming in and killing the sheep and stuff. And they called the wildlife control, and they came in and they set up the cameras, and then they trapped them and took them away. So they trapped five cougars.
How far from Florence proper?
You know where Sutton Lake is?
Yeah.
Wow.
And there it was. They're right on the edge of Sutton Lake.
There are a lot of cougar around there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cougars in the whole county.
Yeah. Two
right
of them
now,
were real young, but it was, yeah, they had a professional come in and trap them.
We haven't had any animal control since January. And so anybody that visited her would have been the state police, I assume, or a police, not animal control. And they might not have been able to give her that information.
We should always...
OVFW or guard dogs or anything like that.
Yeah.
A county the size of the state of Connecticut always ought to have two animal service.
Well, we've asked what happened to the ones we had.
We had two at one point,
no,
didn't we?
Well, one and a half.
One and a half.
Two
sure.
People. And... We didn't get an answer because I assume legally they don't want to give us an answer. What happened to both of them? They both left at the same time.
Right.
Makes you wonder. But
what was that? The lady's name that was your predecessor?
Elise.
Well,
Elise.
We used to have Elise. We liked
yeah.
her.
Yeah, I liked her too.
And her and the halftime guy both left. We don't know if they was voluntary or if they fired or what. We have no idea. But that happened apparently. In
yeah, she was
yeah.
Well.
Did they tell you?
That's great.
Not
right.
Particularly, no.
Well, it would be interesting
yeah,
on a human
like
level because
sure.
She seemed like positive.
Sure.
That's unfortunate.
Mm. No offense on your end.
Oh, sure, no.
You'll give us a thorough briefing about the ins and outs of that particular thing. Of course, it'll be off the record.
Sure.
You'll close the tape. All right. No, that's actually a joke. Just
yeah, right.
All right. LCAS dog licensing discussion. What do we have to discuss?
Sure. So I know in the previous meeting, and perhaps the committee has already kind of talked about some of the subject, but I believe there was some follow-up, I guess, maybe questions or requests for information. I believe per one of the last emails, I saw that David, you might have reached out to one of the counties to ask about.
Oh, yeah.
Multnomah County?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Multnomah County, from what I heard, is universal.
Okay.
It's every community, every city, small town within the county has the same license.
Okay.
But do they raise their own licenses even if they have?
It's the only question I ask. Is it universal? I got a yes.
What does that mean?
Universal licenses.
That means they have the same.
Portland.
They have one database.
Yeah.
And one probably license numbering system.
Right.
But the question is, do they sell individual licenses at other venues and within all the separate cities? That's important. Multnomah County at one point was selling, I believe, licenses, provisional licenses, where people could buy their
which we've
fish
recommended
and,
here.
Yeah, they could buy their hunting and their fishing and places like that.
Right.
I mean, that is, it's not easy for people to actually get a license quickly in Eugene or Lane County. You can come here, I guess, but you have to come all the way out here.
We can get ours through the computer.
Huh?
We get ours through the computer.
Yeah, I get mine through the computer. Mm-hmm.
But it's a recurring thing
yeah.
every year.
Eugene, where I live, our dog Holly, we thought she lost her license.
Physical license, yeah.
So I had to write to Texas, and maybe we're to blame because in our task force report, we had all these different ways funds could be raised and licenses could be sold. The last one was Pet Data out of Dallas, Texas, that does it for some cities, but that was the last because they take a good piece of it. Well, lo and behold, the city was convinced, oh, you can save so much money if you outsource to Green Hill and if you do your licenses out there in Texas. So I sent them a $10 check, thinking, well, I'd like two licenses. They wrote back and said, no, you can only get one license, and you have to give us another check for $5.
So it cost $15?
No, they gave me, they canceled that check. They gave it back. But what I'm saying is I had to do all this stuff between here and Texas. And
I
thought, yeah, and if the vets could sell them, if...
If Bi-Mart could sell them.
Bi-Mart,
like
yeah.
Like your fishing and hunting license.
Yeah.
Because Bi-Mart, I think, sells the year-round county parks, don't they?
Yeah. I believe so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I should get one of those.
They do the for Pisgah, and they have it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, one of them includes Pisgah or anywhere else, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
For the whole year. Well, that's interesting, David. Maybe if you established good rapport with whoever you talk to, you could find out a little more about where do they sell licenses? Do they have multiple venues? How do they make it easy? I assume it's online like ours, but do they have places, you know, where people go, where it would be standard and convenient? Washington counties, I should look at, I'll look into Washington County next time.
Yeah, I had a note that you were going to check on that.
Well, you didn't call me and remind me.
And, that's your fault.
Dang it.
That's what I get from Sylvia all the time. Always my fault.
He's my brain, not by the LCAS. And okay, Washington County, I'll... And maybe you can remind me.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll
and if it's a benefit... with our licensing, so we do offer licensing options online. Our staff do process mail-in flyers and documents as well, and then they can, if preferred, you know, members of the public can renew their licenses or get new licenses in our office as well. And then perhaps it'll kind of flow more into the next subject, but through our spay and neuter voucher program as well. Members of the public who utilize those vouchers also are provided a free license as well. So we do have some different...
They're provided a free license?
Correct, through that process. So if they do use a voucher, the license
that's
is
great.
Part of that as well.
That's
are you saying a free license comes with a spay-neuter voucher?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of the spay-neuter voucher, I had said quite some time ago that I was going to look up pricing, current pricing. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to review that at our last meeting. I called 12 different clinics all around Linn County, and I tried to only call one clinic that was corporate medicine, because so many of them are corporate now. The cheapest cat neuter you can do is a young cat neuter, right? Because basically, all you're doing is pre-sedating, removing the testicles, and you're done.
Right.
You don't even have to put them on gas anesthesia. The cheapest I found for a young cat neuter was $150.
Mm-hmm.
$150. And the most expensive was $300.
VCA.
Yeah,
I knew it would be.
Yeah.
Where was the $300?
VCA.
Yeah. Yep. Is that Westmoreland?
Yeah.
Yeah, Westmoreland is one of them.
Is it VCA?
There are two or three corporations now that are really common in Oregon, and they're all in Lane County.
They're buying up practices.
They're buying up everything because...
Did they buy the Bush animal? The Bush?
I don't know about that. They bought my practice. Not VCA, but the one from the East Coast.
Oakmont?
That's where it was.
Yeah.
Bush.
I don't think it's there anymore.
That guy was on our committee at one point.
I would like to know what organization this is.
No, I wasn't here.
Yeah.
I'm a newbie.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I'll get you the names. Okay.
No, not the clinics.
Yes.
But the name of the organization.
Yes. Yes.
So these were all individual or what, private clinics?
Except for one. I was hunting for them, you know.
And what about Eugene Spay and Neuter?
I didn't call
over
that.
On First.
I didn't call that.
So when you called, you were trying to call individually locally owned practices, not the 7-Eleven of
that. Right, not the corporations. I only made one call to a corporation, and that was to Westmoreland. Because VCA, their pricing is pretty much universal throughout everywhere they go. And then one of the other corporations bought what was my practice, the ARC, on Barger.
Okay.
And, you know, they're right at the top of the heap price-wise as well.
What does VCA
say? Yeah, what was the ARC? Well, how much was it for dogs, if that's what cats were?
Yeah. Young dog spay, which is... You know, the cheapest thing to do as far as a spay, because they're probably not going to need fluids, they're probably not going to need blood work unless they're trying to ram it down your throat. Cheapest was $950.
Are you kidding?
Most expensive was $2,800.
No.
Yes, ma'am.
No.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Was a dream you had.
No, is this for
young dog
puppies?
Spay.
Puppies?
Well, not
6 months old.
Not a puppy. You know, say under a year.
And it's
$950 to $2,800.
Who was the $950?
$950 was Cascade.
Oh, okay. Is that the one?
Kelly Rosen.
And yeah.
Yep.
Well, and the biggest one?
Westmoreland.
So, what does VCA stand for?
Veterinary Something Associate.
And Westmoreland was $2,500, you said?
$2,800.
Just
if you went with all the bells and whistles.
Well, which you probably should.
Yeah.
Well, so if a person gets a voucher, they're getting a voucher for what, $200? That's not even a quarter of it.
Well, and back when I was the practice manager for the ARC and we were private, still the voucher did not cover the cost.
Well,
so Mick would throw in the rest.
So I think our vouchers should be for more. Or, idea, if people could get a tax credit for spaying and neutering their dog, then or
if the practitioners could take a tax credit by severely discounting for low-income people who they could probably have as continuing clients later on, if there would be some relationship between LCAS and some of the rescue community and a given good quality vet office.
When you talk about the vet lowering the cost, you have to know what his cost is.
Right, yeah.
Well, it's got to be something, because I'm sure it's labor intensive and it's risky.
As well as the drugs and so forth and the time involved. What's his cost? He can't go below his cost.
But truth be told, it's probably $500, $400, $350.
I wouldn't know.
I don't know either.
Well, a young cat neuter, you don't even open a surgical pack. That's what we call a cold tray procedure. You give the cat a little bit of pre-anesthetic. You just have them on your prep table. You use your cold tray so you don't have all that expense of having to autoclave a surgical pack, pay a person to do that, fire up everything in the surgical suite. You don't need that. It's just what we call a cold tray procedure. You pull out your scalpel, you pull out your hemostats, bang, bang, boom, you're done. Literally.
Don't you have
to
sew? I mean, after.
No, there's no sewing. You tie it in a knot.
Okay.
You're done.
Now, for female cats, what do you do?
Female cats is really no different than a female dog. You know, if it's a young cat who has not yet had a litter, it's a lot easier, because when they start cycling and or they've been pregnant, that uterine tissue is what we call friable. In other words, it's had damage. It's been infused with blood, and then the blood comes back out when they go back out of season. So that tissue is damaged. And the more damaged the tissue is, the harder it is to do that procedure. Because when you cut out that uterus and tie off the uterine stump, friable tissue is going to leak blood. So your timing has to be right, as far as that's why a vet doesn't want to do a spay when they're either pregnant or they're in season, because it's more likely that that blood is going to seep out of that uterine stump, and then they're going to have internal bleeding, and then you got a mess. That make sense? So the younger they are, the easier that spay surgery is.
Should be cheaper.
On the animal.
What about WAG, though? Doesn't WAG do really affordable spaying and neutering?
Oh, well, absolutely. Please don't ask me the, I can bring it next time, the actual cost. But yes, it is really reasonable.
And what does that mean?
In terms of dollar amount,
yeah.
I don't know.
But if you had to guess.
Okay, I'm going to guess, such a guess, but I'm going to say a dog, male dog,
$250?
No, I was going to say $150.
Yeah. So our vouchers might, we could stretch it for that. Yeah.
Well, and I know that people do come in with the vouchers. And my question to you is, I don't know, can you go through the process of who is eligible for a voucher? What do they have to prove to, yeah. How
sure.
does that work?
Sure. So I will try. So with those vouchers, I actually have some materials. I didn't print out very many, unfortunately, but if we do want to maybe pass them around, that might be some good info. But with that, with the program, essentially the only requirement that we have, we really don't have much in terms of requirement. So it's eligible for most of really anyone who would like to use one. We do have a income kind of rough guideline. It hasn't been updated for a few years, but in general, 2015, correct? Yeah. So that really kind of serves as one, if not the only, guideline that we require.
Is it just over or under, or is there, you know, sort of like what we call a sliding scale?
There is a sliding scale depending on household. So it go household size. So in general, you're looking at about, let's see here. So maybe 23 because it looks like you can't exceed twice the poverty guideline of that time. So it's about 23,000 to about 81,000 you would qualify, depending on the household.
23,000 to 81,000?
Depending on the household size. So that would be
if you had 8 kids.
Correct, yeah. But for the most part, it's...
If you have 8 kids and you're making $80,000 a year, you are in poverty.
Then you might, exactly. That's true. So with that process, we also, and you'll see once it's passed around, there's a list of the different clinics that do accept these vouchers from us. With that, there's really, again, not too much that we even require from the clinic other than that they complete a short form that we have to kind of establish that partnership. And then just for them to be willing to do the procedure, and then we reimburse them afterwards. So that's really, hopefully that answered some of the question.
And so I have this memory, and it could be wrong, that the public, I guess, is not taking, or maybe just not aware of, mm-hmm. This program, and that we're not getting full advantage taken of it. In other words, let's just say I'm making this up, but you know, this month you got 50 vouchers and you got 8 people that took advantage of it.
Right.
Is that an issue still?
That could be. Unfortunately, I'm not too well versed in that. But
none of these are corporate clinics.
Okay.
These are all private clinics.
Right.
Well, of course,
corporate's
never going to accept it.
But low-income pet owners who want to get their companion animals, dogs or cats, sterilized, they're eligible to go to WAG, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
And are you busy? Is WAG really busy? No?
No, it's horrible. It's terrible. The staff is, we've had to cut back on the number of animals that we can take in one day because staff is just exhausted. They exhausted. What that has done is that, so it's feral season, right? Kitten season. So what happens with ferals is you can't schedule them because you don't know if you're going to trap them or not. So what happens is people come in, they get there at, you know, 7
in the morning.
Yeah, and sit and wait and hope that there is a no-show, a couple no-shows, because otherwise we have to send them home. Yeah, and at that point, they've got a feral in a cage that, you know, they can't, it's awful on a Friday.
They don't have enough staff members there?
No. This whole, you know, COVID just...
COVID's driven reduced the whole staffing thing? Are they trying to expand the...
Oh, yeah.
Now, who does the spaying?
The vet.
And is the vet part-time or full-time?
The spaying only... goes from, I don't know, maybe they start at 8 up till noon, because then you have to have the recovery time and the people come and pick the animal up. So that's the other piece of it. It is I can't imagine being a vet in that sort of assembly line type.
But you couldn't have a second shift at 1?
There's not, because you've got to have the animals leave. And they have to have recovery time before you can send them out to their people. You could probably have, and it's hard to recruit someone that wants to just do that. The vet that was there hadn't been there for years. He retired in December. And the new vet is a woman that moved here from, I think, North Carolina. You know, she had her learning curve. That was not what she solely did before, but...
Is she here now?
Yeah, and what I understand is she's great. But we are slammed. It's really sad.
The door every morning is 15, 18 people deep.
Yep.
What about the city of Eugene? Don't they still have their spay-neuter facility?
See, I don't know. And it really, it's...
unfortunately, Greenhill is only doing colonies, and so that took a big chunk out of, and I do know the Ark will take ferals on a, yeah, and Vanita Vet. There's the only two that I know of that are really trying to help out the situation. But yeah, it's you know, and we are booked out. Appointments, we are booked out to September.
Mm-hmm. How many do you do a year?
Oh God, I don't know, but we do. The limit is 23. Oh God, are we at 23 now, or are we at 20? They reduced it by 5 because it was just too
23
many
what?
Animals a day.
Times how many days?
We're open 4 days a week.
So you're saying there's a staffing issue?
Yeah.
There's not a staffing issue at Vanita Vet, I know that. They've got so many girls out there, some of them don't know what they're doing.
Well, there's always that.
And they, I don't know how many vets, they've got 5 or 6 vets out
really?
There now, at least.
They really expanded.
That's
good.
It's
used to be my man, I lived out there.
I don't know if I'm off base on this or not, you know, I'm just seeing what I saw online, but it starts with COVID. The staffing issue starts with COVID, but it also, the stimulus is having an effect, because apparently there's people, they don't want to go to work because they're getting money from the government.
But that's over.
Apparently, okay, it might be over, but our Starbucks, my wife lives at Starbucks. She loves Starbucks. We do Starbucks every day.
Oh, wow. Geez.
Yesterday it was closed.
It
closed
at
11:30 because of the staffing issues.
Do you get the puppuccino for your dogs, too?
No. But so there's still staffing issues, and I don't know exactly what's causing it. Some guy online was saying that his one son gets $12,000, and another son's getting $28,000, and neither of them want to work. I don't know if that's true or not.
The stimulus, that's extended unemployment, and now rental.
He didn't specify, and I don't even know
if
he's
telling the truth. It's all changing, so I think a lot of people are going to.
I think that door is closed, but during the time, some people got comfortable.
Well, Starbucks is closed. Hmm? Starbucks doesn't ever close.
Yeah,
they're,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's closed. No, it's open today, maybe. Well, I'm supposed to stop on the way home, I'll find out.
What, your Starbucks is closed?
It was, every once in a while, it's closed during the daytime.
God,
because
that's
they don't
so
have
sad.
Staff.
You better hope it's open today.
I better hope it's open, yeah. Sure, I'll be building them once I get home. But they're open in the mornings because that's when most of the traffic comes through.
There's one inside Fred Meyer.
I know, it's closed sometimes too. When mine's been closed, I've gone to Fred's on West 11th. It was closed too.
Oh no, we drive into West 11th for a coffee.
Well, when I'm in town.
Oh.
But yeah, we'll come in town and once a day. We live 7 miles out of town.
Right.
We'll come in town every day to go to Starbucks. That's how we got through the pandemic. That's how we got out of the house.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, with a mask on, drive-through, going through the Starbucks.
Well,
it
I know.
Kept my very
Now, you know, at.
It was serious when I closed.
Oh, okay.
At 25 approximately a day, times 4 is 100. Times 4 is 400, times 10 is 4,000 plus 800 is 4,800. So it's almost shy of 5,000 if you were totally 5,000 animals spayed and neutered, right? Of course, there's downtime and there's big
right.
whatever. But let's say between 4 and 5,000 animals.
A year.
I would assume. I mean, just looking
right.
at the numbers like that.
But that's really nothing. I mean, look at the population.
Exactly. That's and so fun. What used to take some of that pressure off was First Avenue and Greenhill. And I don't know, I know Greenhill's not, but I don't know about First Avenue.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
We should look into that First Avenue. Can you also, your brethren in the Animal Rescue Service area,
mm-hmm.
have you talked to the City of Eugene Animal Control?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why don't you, if you could, ask what the situation is with their spay and neuter program,
okay.
whether they're using any vouchers. Well, they should have their own vouchers.
Right, they don't use the county vouchers.
Right, they should have their own vouchers because when we instituted this, George Poling, a conservative Republican at our behest, made a motion that 5% of their license revenue be allocated to spay-neuter vouchers. And, you know, I'd be interested to know if that is still in practice, mm-hmm. and how many dogs and how many cats per year, and maybe broken down,
sure.
are they doing it, and at what cost?
So now I do believe that City of Eugene is one of our partners. So I will check with staff, but I believe they may be accepting our vouchers. So they might be a part of that program.
Yeah.
As of last year, we processed roughly 113 vouchers. 30 of them were for dogs and about 80 for cats, or 83 or so. Just to give you an idea of the amounts there.
What was the money that we had disposable in terms of the 5% of licenses, dog licenses, let's say?
I would have to...
You know, because that would be the working capital of a successful voucher fund.
Well, you can get kind of an idea just looking at this graph. Because if you flip that page over, it's showing you a year's worth of mailed license renewal reminders from July of 21 to June of 22. There were a total of 7,973 mailed license renewal reminders for that year. Right on the back page of your agenda. Turn your agenda over.
Oh, okay.
The first page there.
How does that translate?
That graph.
We get 7,000.
We're right there.
All done with ours.
But there's a bottom line here, which is how many licenses, what's the total income,
mm-hmm.
and that would be mm-hmm. the question maybe you could tell us next week.
Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of
the second graph
below, you can see spay-neuter voucher dogs for that same year, 5. Spay-neuter voucher cats, 45.
It's nothing. And so, obviously, we have to make this resource available. And you were saying maybe we should expand.
Make it worth a little more.
You know, give more.
It's always been an issue as if there's a communication problem.
Yeah. Absolutely. And sure. So we need to sort of get, you know, my understanding is there's several thousands of dollars of vouchers available. Mm-hmm. If it was 5% of dog licenses revenue, And I think historically, it really hasn't been activated in the right way. And this money used to, it was general fund, well, no. I think they used to roll it over internally. Mm-hmm. But at one point earlier, they may have given it back to general fund. We don't want that for this purpose. We'd really like to use, there's a need for lower income people to have their pets sterilized so that they don't compound the whole, you know. Mm-hmm.
And with the economy, it make it worse.
Yes.
And I don't know the exact figures, unfortunately, but there is a budget for these vouchers. So I think it is probably more of a communication issue than you know, like a budgetary. Yeah.
So if next we have Kbell, if I were to call Kbell about doing a story about these spay neuter vouchers for low income people that we have available, who would be the contact person that I would send a reporter to?
Sure. So Devin Ashbridge is our.
Wait a minute. Ashbridge, like
correct.
It sounds.
Yes. Yep.
ASS.
Why wouldn't it be you?
So she is our public information officer.
Yeah, but
so
she doesn't know a darn thing about this stuff.
Right. What she would do is she would essentially all media requests start with her in order to ensure that everything is in line with, you know, with county policy and whatnot.
Okay.
And then at
so
that
she's
point,
your communications person.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And then she would reach out to her.
She
reached out to Michael Johns. So, and then I believe he worked with our LCAS staff from there.
How is Michael?
He's doing well. He's doing well. Yes, he's been in the office and working hard. So it's yeah.
Go ahead.
One quick question. I don't know. I've only lived here 40 years. Are there any other television stations in Chief?
Sure, there are.
There's three.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Oh, yeah, the other one's
13 and 16 is basically the same station.
But what's the
Well, yeah, and no.
Same newscasters.
I mean, Channel 3 on the cable is, what is it? It's the NBC affiliate. KVEL is the CBS,
KZI,
KZI,
K2,
ABC.
Oh, no, that's Portland.
So it's the NBC.
That's 60. KMTR is NBC, and that's 60.
But that's radio. KMTR is radio.
No, that's TV.
Television over the air.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, digital over the air.
Yeah, you're right.
And KVAL is 13, which is CBS. KMTI, you know about.
And would it be at all helpful for radio stations?
We've got a Fox station, too.
Yeah, Fox is managed out of Portland, but we do. It is does have local news.
It just seems to have a local newscaster.
Oh.
And that talk show.
Designation is.
What is that?
But what's.
What's that talk show? The really popular one.
The View.
No. In Eugene, there's a one of the major, bigger than 590. It's like 1120.
Oh, the radio station.
Yeah. You know, that's a big one. And I've been on that show.
I don't remember the designation, but it's 1120 on the dial.
Whatever. 1120. But they're...
Yeah.
I've been on there. And we've been
talking.
The guy
that does the news would be interested. I don't remember his name. I'll see if I can come up with it, maybe let you know.
Good.
He's a good one. And I've heard...
And this is on the radio.
This is on the radio, 1120.
11:20.
And they have it like 3 hours a morning. I mean, they've got it all sorts of people.
They have plenty of room to squeeze us in. Three hours, gosh.
Yeah, no, they have a call-in thing, and they have guests. I've been a guest of theirs a couple times.
KMOX, is 11:20.
A.M., I guess.
Yes, it is. It's 11:20 a.m.
That doesn't
sound
right.
No, it doesn't sound right.
That's not for me.
Okay, maybe so how about KPNW?
Yes,
KPNW.
That's
it.
That's also 11:20. That's 11:20 a.m. Apparently.
Okay.
And there's some guy named Bill.
Yes.
Bill somebody, the talk show.
Yes, Bill.
He's a good guy.
Oh, is that the one with Stormy Daniels?
It has the Glenn Beck program.
Stormy something.
She and now every now that she's on in plays and stuff.
Yes.
Now
not Stormy.
I'll come up with it.
So I think we've kind of covered the waterfront here a little bit, and you're going to find out what the status is of the city of Eugene, mm-hmm. and you might contact one of the media people again.
Yeah.
Green Hill Activity. Did you all get the email from Sasha?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's self-explanatory. And animal services activity, anything to tell us, or did you already tell us?
Probably most of it was covered in that first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you told us about the new hire.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And
Whoops.
Is there also a hope to enhance that to at least another halftime position?
Yes, so we do have another position budgeted, so that is a possibility. We do have a halftime employee that will likely be coming back. I think he's been off in a different training, so that's where he has.
What is that for?
For the halftime employee or first?
Yes.
So that would be a support for the animal welfare officer. So that's a halftime officer.
It'll be the halftime one.
Correct.
And you have that person already?
He's still budgeted.
Has he been here before?
Yes. Yeah, he was working with Elise a little while ago. Yeah.
Did he have a car and all, and he moved around the county?
He, at the time, was still really kind of a training, so he was following Elise on her different rounds and whatnot.
So we haven't really lost him?
Correct, yes.
And he's not working right now?
He's not working right now, but he is still...
Well, what's he doing right now?
So I don't know too much, but I believe he's on a different training. I think he might be with the Coast Guard or another kind of military. Okay. Yeah.
But he will be available full-time or half-time?
Correct. Once, yeah.
What's his name?
Goodness.
You tell us next time.
Yes, right? I will make a note about that.
Sure.
It's been a little while, so.
No, but...
That thing, if I remember.
Yes.
So, open discussion of any kind?
Last November, we had somebody here from the state. It might have been online, I don't know. Ashley Lively, KUENZI. She's the animal rescue entity coordinator that's overseeing the rescue licensing for the state.
Yeah, the program had just started up.
The Department of Agriculture.
Yeah. Right.
And I want to send this around. I contacted her, sent her an email. I sent her an email asking about new rescues that I've seen popping up. We go to Bonita Vet. We drive to Bonita Vet, and I see a big sign on a big piece of property by the animal rescue. That's one I hadn't heard of. And then online, I saw on Facebook there was another one that popped up, a new one I hadn't heard of. Wow. So I asked her if the state is taking care of those, or if they're actively looking for them and finding them and contacting them to see if they're licensed or not. And this is what she wrote back to me, that yes, they are. They're looking at that, but we can also contact her with any information, which I will do after I check her length that our license list here that she sent me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I can give you that actual URL if you like, so that you can do it too. But you can check the status of each rescue, which I'll do. But this is the latest from the state. And of course, the reason is we're concerned about disease because so much of the documentation coming in the dogs are starting. Anyhow, that's all I've got.
Well, go ahead. No, go.
No, you.
No,
no me. I remember I was shocked by the number of rescue organizations that she said were currently licensed. It didn't even address the ones that aren't.
I wrote it down here last, what I got last November. They had 23 licenses in Lane County licensed as of November. And they thought when they first started there would be about 117, they thought there were going to be about 225 in Oregon rescues.
Organizations.
Rescue organizations bringing dogs in. But in the end, they determined there might be twice that many.
Hmm. Really?
There might be nearly 500 rescues in the state. This state. Bringing dogs in. And of course we knew a lot of the documentation, the health things that they had come in with them were fine.
Yeah.
Because I've known a vet, I probably shouldn't say who it was, checked some of the documentation to contact the vet that wrote out the health certificate, didn't exist.
There was
no such vet.
It was a phantom?
And the reason why the vets have to tread lightly, most of their clientele are rescues. So they got to be careful about what they do about rescues. But a lot of the documentation was fraudulent. And so that's why the state eventually got involved, because of the concern about disease coming in that ended up killing our own pets.
What?
Disease coming in to end up killing our own pets. In 2015, there were a bunch of dogs brought into the Bay Area of San Francisco. And from there, they were sent around the country. When some of the dogs hit Chicago, that's when the canine flu broke and started killing dogs. And within, I don't know, 30-some states, it killed a bunch of dogs within those states before it worked itself out. and it was the old and the young, the most vulnerable, that it killed. The dogs that were healthy, it didn't kill it. But the old ones and the young ones, it killed some of those dogs. Anyhow, that's what we're concerned with. And we have heard from Dr. Penfold that we're concerned about some exotic disease coming from wherever, Asia, Europe, wherever, Africa, who knows where, that isn't endemic to North America, and we're not prepared to deal with it, and we don't know what we have when it breaks, and we can't take care of it until it starts killing a bunch of our dogs.
Isn't there USDA, isn't there federal science?
The USDA has some months ago stopped any importation from, I don't know, 30-some countries or something like that due to rabies coming in.
That's not bad.
That's what we're concerned with. The CDC is concerned with a zoonotic disease coming in that jumps to humans, just like COVID did.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're concerned with, and that's why this started, the state campaign.
Well, it's valid. I mean,
it is valid.
I mean,
but the amount of rescues coming in, people don't know about. Like, if we've got 500 rescues in the state, that was known last November. And since then, I've seen two pop up that I didn't know about in Lane County, because it's a cash cow. There's lots of money involved.
That's right.
With the transportation, that's where the money is. But people are charging $400 or $500 for a puppy, for a rescue puppy, that might be a puppy mill coming from a puppy mill in Mexico.
Most of them are purpose bred. For the market.
It looks like they're purpose bred.
First
of all, we know that small dogs are easy to adopt. And when you're getting small little chihuahuas and things like that from Southern California that are easy to adopt, why aren't they adopted down there? How come they're coming here? They're purpose bred. There's little doubt. Can't prove it. But there's little doubt they're purpose bred for the rescue trade. People are buying tractor trailers. Like million-dollar tractor trailers to transfer these dogs from the south to the north all across the nation. We have one Rescue Express in Lane County. It's called Rescue Express. It's a tractor trailer. I don't know how much those groups cost. They're expensive.
Lane County has a...
There's a group called Rescue Express based in Lane County that drives wherever around the country to pick the dogs up in the south and takes them up north. Not just to here, but around other parts of the country.
Are they well intentioned or are they pecuniarily?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Probably a combination.
Yeah, you're right.
You know.
I'm sure there's well intentioned people, but at the same time, there's other people just making all kinds of money.
You know, we adopted our Holly 3 years ago, I guess now, Shepherd Lab, beautiful dog, at PetSmart on Coburg in their Adopt-a-Thon Saturdays. And I think I paid $400. For that, and they said they knew where she was born. She'd had all her stuff.
Right.
She was microchipped, but she came from California.
Right, but you don't know if it was somewhere else before that.
Right.
When I went to PetSmart,
we've seen dogs just like her. I mean, no one's just like her. She's one of a kind.
Right.
But she's got the ears up. She's all black. She's gorgeous. Shepherd and Lab. She's filling out a little bit as a lab. Huh?
That's what they say. That's what it appears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't done the saliva thing with her. I should talk to her about
that. I think it was 2015 or so, I went to PetSmart, and I saw three groups, like X-Men's up, and three groups of dogs.
In those little circular...
All kinds of dogs there. So I started asking questions. First time I ran into it, I started asking questions. The manager came and asked me to leave.
Rescue Express says they have 300 rescue partners on the West Coast for free transport for their 300 rescue partners.
So it is a moneymaker.
Of course it is.
And so many of these dogs also are coming up from Texas. That's another big one.
And we don't know where they're coming from Texas.
Well, out of Texas, right there next to Mexico.
There was the kissing bug that ended up in Texas that came from Mexico.
Right.
It started in Texas, now it's spread to a whole bunch of states.
Oh, and they got pictures of their buses for transport.
Right.
Bright red with Rescue Express painted across the side of them.
What's it called? Rescue Express?
Rescue Express.
Yeah, good look at the vehicle.
Yeah.
Must be a month ago now, I took my dog to be groomed out at PetSmart, and they were just bringing in a delivery
Transportation is from south to north. We will transport 1,000 miles for as little as $20.
For one dog?
For one dog.
No, they're not going to do it on the road. I doubt that. Well, we are nearing the...
Yes.
But we do have another 35-minute video that... No, we don't.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we're nearing... Is there anything else for the good of the order? In terms of next month, we've discussed and you've taken notes. But can anyone think of... We're going to follow up on that sheep thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've each got things to do. What were you going to say?
I just wanted to very quickly just go back to the spay and...
Oh, sure.
So here it says qualified low-income pet owners with a $50 voucher. Okay, so they get the $50 voucher, and then they go to the vet with it that is on here.
Well, so the way it works is these forms are provided to the vet, right? So they, the client will fill out the form, and then they send that to us, and then we reimburse the vet.
So it initiates at the vet.
It can, correct.
So I guess what's confusing to me is that I have people come into WAG, and they're bringing this, but it's not from the vet.
So it can be. So I believe our LCAS staff do provide of the forms to the vet. So they can fill them out there, or they can bring them in as well,
so
whichever.
So they don't necessarily have to, because I don't see anywhere on this where it says that they have a vet. Most of the people that come and see us don't have a vet.
Right.
And what about them?
Yeah.
Does WAG have a supply of these vouchers?
They should.
I'm not sure we can do that. I don't think that's part of our program.
Whose program?
WAGs.
That's not so. They were here.
Well, we do the spade, yes. But that is specifically with the community cats that, where there's otherwise these animals would not get, this is for the FARA program, would not get spayed or neutered, and then we'd be overrun with cat kittens. Well, let me just...
Wait, WAG was begging us for stuff even about 4 months ago.
Money. Right, and it's being used, yes.
Right.
But not in conjunction with this voucher. It's a separate one.
So the county's voucher, the most they can get is $50?
So for the most part, from my knowledge as well...
You can double it.
Yes, for dogs.
So they can
it
get
tends
100.
To be correct.
And
or something that's going to cost them $950.
Yeah, right. That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah, that's
not,
why we
it's
don't...
It's not even used.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
That might be the problem right there.
It's not
right.
enough.
It costs somebody with a voucher $800 to get their...
Well...
not
obviously, we have to go to the lower cost
yes.
people. Mm-hmm. And
which is WAG.
Yes.
Hmm?
Which is WAG.
Well, and Eugene Spay Neuter, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
maybe they should be.
Right.
And also, Cascade, I don't know. They do some pro bono, not pro bono, but they do discounted things over there. Kelly Rosen, is that her name?
Right, right. Well, so does Vanilla.
So
does
who?
Most of the pets that are private practice do a lot of free work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
So it would be nice if their free work could at least be enhanced somewhat.
It would.
You know, and if we could intertie
mm-hmm.
that so that at the end of the fiscal year, you got nada left until...
That's never happened.
We, you know?
Yeah.
The fiscal year ends June 30th, I guess.
Yeah.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
So you're going to find out how much Eugene Spay Neuter charges.
Sure, I sure can.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people
and
in the cabins animals don't know
about it.
Any of this even exists.
Yeah,
right.
That's
right.
The big one.
Right.
Communication.
We've got to elevate the visibility of this.
Well, that can happen.
Now, what about
KCCI and the rest of them on TV?
for these free PSAs. Just put it out there. Everyone wants it. Eventually, it'll get out.
St. Vincent de Paul has that homeless day center, you know, out there on 99. St. Vincent de Paul, St. Vinny's.
Right.
They have big homeless interactions, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. out there, and there's a drop-in place. That's not, I mean, for humans.
Okay.
And they have pets. Lots of the homeless people have dogs.
Yes. Right? Oh, yeah.
And I just wonder if those dogs, I mean, they're the ones that, if I have time and light hasn't changed, you know, it's a dog. But have we ever connected with St. Vincent de Paul? I wonder if you could ask Michael about that.
I sure can.
Because I'm sure that if homeless are their basic constituency, and a high percentage of the homeless people have dogs, they do. Could they use a spay and neuter?
There was another organization here. It wasn't WAG. There was somebody else that worked with them. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
On an ongoing basis, or?
Yeah, ongoing. Okay. I don't remember if it still exists or not. The person that was part of it is gone. I know that. She lives up in Portland now. But there was somebody here, and I don't remember what it was.
And they had, didn't they have to close down for lack of funding?
It might have been. I really don't know. But there was an organization that worked with the homeless, mm-hmm. Scott.
There's a lot of us and technicians that volunteer at that St. Vinny's station. Mick and I still volunteer there. And so is that wellness checks or... No, you know, it's beyond wellness checks. The homeless people that visit you there have a problem.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was thinking of the animals. But this
That's
is
what
awesome.
I'm talking about, the animals. Oh, they have a problem.
Oh.
They're not... You know, they're not going to spend hours in that line for a wellness check. They're going to spend hours in that line because their animal is sick.
Yeah.
So we slap patch them back together and give
and
them whatever
that,
kind of medication they need.
Yeah. Is that a daily?
So you did this, you've done this at St. Vincent de Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So those spay-neuter vouchers might have somehow... been useful.
Yeah, we could hand them out, you know, if they were available. Do you want to get your dog spayed or neutered? And a lot of them don't.
Right.
But if they did, well, here, take this and go to, we have to mm-hmm. tell them to go somewhere, you know, because they don't have phones, they don't have cars,
they don't have transportation.
They don't have,
right.
Yeah. Right?
But it's a $50 voucher, and...
And that's not going to get them anywhere.
No. No, that's not going to help. It has to
be more than that.
Yeah. Well, it has to really cover the
whole thing. What would be the process to have the vouchers increased?
Let me find out about that. I don't think there's anything really preventing it.
That's right.
But
good question.
Yeah.
And so it'd be interesting to know, let's say, the last couple of fiscal years, what was the dog license revenue, a.k.a. 5%? That would be available for spay and neuters. Mm. What was the expenditure, the use of the vouchers worth? How much was the rollover unused money? Mm. So we can understand the opportunity that we would have to network.
Here's another point of view. We've always never used them all. There's always been money left over. And instead of trying to use them all and only giving $50 or $100 per voucher, how about if we cover the whole cost of one spay neuter and do fewer animals just to cover the whole cost to get them done?
If it was merited and we'd still have money left over to help other people, I mean...
We always do.
We don't want to spend $2,500 at,
okay.
you know,
no.
Joe
your,
Rockefeller's vet
right.
shop.
Look at your graph. It tells you right there, spay-neuter vouchers dogs for July 21 to June 22, five.
No, I'm hip to it.
Were used.
But what I'm saying is we don't necessarily want to use these vouchers at a much more expanded price for L ripoff corporate.
We need to know how much money are we talking about, and then we can know, well, what can we afford?
Yeah, because we pay the whole cost of those five? The total cost of those five?
No, that was just the
$50.
As long as it's low cost, pay neuter.
So $250 went out.
Right.
For five of them.
Right.
But if it was increased to
$2,500.
Well, if it was increased to
no way.
To five. let's say you increased it to if it's costing you from $950 to get your dog done, that's the cheapest place, and $500 of it came as a voucher, you would be more likely to have it done than if you got a $50 voucher and it's going to cost you $900.
Now, well, I'll tell you what, if we can get something like that, $500 or $600, I will go to those clinics myself and talk them into it.
And have the cat voucher be $100.
You know, I think on a really deserving case, sure, but if you let every vet office know, hey, we've got $500
now. We've got a short list.
Well, you've got a short list.
But the short list is our fault because we haven't been networking appropriately with organizations that, hey, you know, this lady or this person or these, you know, these dogs, whatever, if they don't do it, they're going to get pregnant.
But on the other hand, Scott, that short list of private practice vets, not corporate, are much more likely to work with a county voucher
and
their poor client and accept the cost of that voucher as paid in full.
Yep.
Much more likely.
Yeah.
But not for $50.
Not for $50.
But if it was $500.
Yeah.
That's true. It's still a pretty good piece of change.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'd only need to do 100 on a cat. 500 on a dog and 100 on a cat.
Well, this is productive. Go ahead.
Well, I'm still trying to get my head around 900 was the cheapest.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's the cheapest.
I can't get my head around this.
Well, that wasn't private practice though, right?
It is private.
That is private.
Well, because begging your pardon, but you do get what you pay for.
Well,
yeah.
And I want to tell you, in all the years I worked over 20 years for the ARC, I can't tell you how many clients came crying to us because their dog was
harmed,
damaged somehow, or killed.
Yeah. Okay, and I can understand that.
During a spay
neuter at WAG.
Yes. Okay, at WAG. Really?
Yes.
How long ago was that?
As I said, I worked for the ARC for well over 20 years. In my entire career, people have been coming in complaining about how they were done wrong by the various agencies.
But WAG has only been in business for 10
years. By Greenhill, by LCAS, because there is a common denominator. Do it fast. Do it cheap. And when you use cheap anesthetic on a dog, you're going to have a certain percentage of dogs that expire.
Especially.
Well, that's awful.
Their hearts can't take it.
Well, we didn't know this. First of all, LCAS has not performed sterilizations.
They used to.
No.
Yeah.
No, no. They were partners with the city of Eugene, spay neuter. But if it was bad, no one, we'd never learned this before.
Well, you have to talk to a vet or somebody who's actually in that business. And again, it's what are you going to do? You're going to call them up and say, hey, you just killed this client's dog? No, you're not. The vets have to work with all these people. And whoever that vet was, you're still a vet.
Well, I'm going to ask. I want to know how many animals have to come back after, for a recheck. Now, I can tell you that I'm there from 7 to whenever I'm done. and at 9, wellness checks come in, or rechecks. And, I mean, usually there's nobody in the parking lot. I mean, week after week after week. So I'm curious to ask them. I'd like, from what you said, I'd really like some more information on that. How many animals come back, how many, yeah.
You know, we did have a member, do you remember that? Quite a gentleman, very smart professional. He owned Bush Animal Hospital.
Yeah, right. I remember.
What's his name? Jerry? No, what was his
Jerry
name?
Jerry something. Yes.
A very fine.
Right.
And he was a member.
He was a vet.
And in fact, we had, when LCAS had the city contract, we had a spay and neuter? No, we had a euthanasia review committee of two vets that were both on our thing and a layperson. And there were times when they really admonished the staff a couple of times that, hey, look, this doesn't look like, you know, like you may have jumped the gun. Not often, but that type of scrutiny was really good. And I know Carrie Lieberman was on our committee at the time. That wouldn't be possible now, because they say, well, we're a private organization, you can't do that. But having that public scrutiny and having a public pound or shelter in conjunction with the Humane Society, that's the San Francisco Maddie's Fund and their own shelter. They have down the street from each other. That's the perfect combination, you know. So we are where we are. And I hope to God everyone be safe when we reconvene. And we will reconvene at when? Monday, June 13th, 2022 at 4 p.m.
Monday what?
Monday, June 13th, excuse me. 13th. Not Friday the 13th, Monday the 13th, at 2022. We want to thank our excellent staff member for your regular communications throughout the interim. And we are adjourned.